From 2 Peter 1, verse 3, His divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. David Brooks wrote an article, How America Got Mean, in which he grieved over what he labeled the demoralization of American culture. During the 20th century, words associated with morality appeared increasingly less frequently in our nation's books. He cited a 2012 paper revealing that usage of certain common words related to living a virtuous, meaning ethically honorable, wholesome life declined significantly. Among these words were bravery, which dropped by 65%, gratitude, which dropped 58%, and humble, which dropped 55%. Brooks noted that in 1967, some 85% of Americans said they were strongly motivated to develop a meaningful philosophy of life. By 2000, the percentage dropped by half and was replaced with being financially well off. By 2015, 82% of college students said wealth was their primary aim in life. Friends, what do you want to accomplish in life? Death is certain for each of us. No one is excluded, unless, of course, Jesus returns during our lifetime. You will be remembered for something. Do you desire to have your life count for something important, something bigger than you could ever dream, something that will be remembered and celebrated for all eternity in heaven? You get one pass at life, that's all. And so know this, the only thing that will matter and make anything else you did or accomplished of any real value in the hereafter is Jesus Christ Himself and your kindred relationship and service to Him in His grand plans for history and His everlasting kingdom. Therefore, the necessity of giving our lives to Jesus and spending them becoming, by His grace and enablement, virtuous, honorable, godly people who do God's will rises to the top of our all the more important to-do list. Our English word virtue originates from the 10th century Latin virtus, which means moral strength, high character, goodness, manliness, valor, bravery, courage, excellence, and worth. The 14th century Wycliffe Bible uses virtue in certain places where the King James Bible has the word power. Modern translations use the word excellence in certain places where the King James Bible has the word virtue. For women, the focus of virtue has been chastity or sexual purity since the 1590s. Consequently, we clearly see the importance of virtue as a defining character trait. Virtue focuses on all character traits that are excellent in essence. Virtue is power. And living a virtuous life is powerful. And yet, seemingly, for the last 6 decades, virtue has been neglected. More and more, virtue has been replaced with a narcissistic drive for complete sexual freedom, even sinful, unbiblical homosexuality and transgenderism. Virtue has been replaced with lying and cheating to parade false narratives as truth in order to get ahead, or to get one's own way and gain wealth and self-serving power and status. And all of this by way too many people. We witness this unfortunate, degrading plunge of virtue and rise in ungodliness in every area of society, from people elected to the highest places of government and leadership to the average citizen. The mutilization of virtue is indeed thorough and disgusting and sickening. The 7 deadly sins, first enumerated by Pope Gregory I in the 6th century and later detailed by St. Thomas Aquinas in the 13th century, are 1. Pride or vainglory, which is arrogance, conceit, egotism, and pompous self-importance. 2. Greed or covetousness. 3. Lust, which includes inordinate or illicit sexual desire. 4. Envy, including jealousy, which manifests in bitterness and hatred and malice and resentment. 5. Gluttony, which includes intoxication due to alcohol and drugs. 6. Wrath or unrighteous anger. And 7. Sloth or laziness. All of these sinful vices are the handiwork of Satan and evil in our lives, and they degrade and cheapen our humanity. Virtues are grace gifts that come from God. We were created by God for Him, to live in holy union with Him and in righteous relationship with other human beings through Jesus Christ in the power and enablement of the Holy Spirit. If we do not practice these virtues, they become lost to us and are replaced by sinful vices that prohibit our holy union with God and righteous relationship with fellow human beings. Virtue has traditionally been divided into two categories: cardinal virtues, of which there are 4, and 3 theological virtues. The cardinal virtues are 1, wisdom, which is the application of knowledge and sound reasoning and right understanding to make decisions and to act becomingly in order to bring about honorable, positive outcomes. 2, courage, which is upholding ethical beliefs, principles, and values when confronting danger, hardship, and adversity with determination and resilience and resolve and righteous behavior in spite of fear. 3, temperance, which is self-control and moderation and resistance to temptations that may lead to excess in order to maintain a healthy balance between desires and actions. 4, justice, which is rooted in righteousness. It is the fair treatment of all people to uphold their rights and dignity, and is based on merit and actions. The theological virtues are 5, faith, which is the virtue by which we believe and trust in God through Christ, who is God in the flesh, according to the power and enablement of God the Holy Spirit, and is the means by which we believe and trust all that God has said to us in His holy word, the Bible. 6, hope, which is the virtue by which we desire, look for, and expect with great joy and anticipation the constant presence and power and protection and provision of God in this life, and the inheritance and rewards of God's kingdom and heaven through salvation in Christ in the hereafter. And finally, 7, love or charity, which is the virtue by which we live in relationship with God and cherish Him above all else, and by which we love other people as Christ has loved us. The marvelous power of the God-given virtues, both classic and theological, is that they, when we live by them through God's grace, become powerful deterrents that keep us from becoming overcome by the 7 deadly sins. And so you see, friends, the terrible reality of the ravaging of our society by the 7 deadly sins ruling people's lives can be reversed, but only by God and by His means. The Bible reminds us in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." God made this promise because the virtue and morality of His people had the habit of sinking to the level of their wicked, evil, ungodly neighbors, and therefore bringing about God's chastisement and judgment. Out of necessity, God told His people the way back to morality and virtue. John, Christ's apostle, reminds us in 1 John 1, verse 9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." God said through the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 15, verse 19, "If you return, then I will restore you, and before me you will stand." The way for Israel's return is the way for our return, the way of true, genuine, godly sorrow over our sin that moves us to quickly repent, meaning turn away from sin to righteousness and virtue, and return in faith and obedience to Jesus Christ as Lord of our lives. And so, dear people, hurry. Through Jesus Christ and growing knowledge of Him, God has given us everything we need for true life and godliness. God has called you to glory and virtue, and therefore, godly virtue awaits you. Jesus Christ calls you to reclaim virtue for yourself. And so, do not keep virtue or Jesus waiting any longer. I'm Jack Maynard, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Baptist Church in Greenville, Mississippi, and Executive Director of 1P26 Ministries, Inc. You can find me at cornerstonedelta.com and at 1P26.org. Blessings to all.